Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Borosil Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aniruddha Joshi from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Tushar. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY24 and nine-month FY24 results conference call of Borosil. We have with us senior management represented by Mr. Shreevar Kheruka, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Rajesh Kumar Chaudhary, Whole-time Director, Mr. Anand Sultania, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Rituraj Sharma, President, Consumer Products, and Mr. Balesh Talapady, Vice President, Investor Relations and Business Analysis. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Shreevar for his initial comments on quarterly performance, and then we will open the floor for question and answer session. Thanks, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aniruddha, and ICICI Securities for arranging this call. I wish everyone a very good afternoon. The Borosil team is delighted to be communicating with you once again. Borosil Limited's board approved the company's financial results for Q3 FY24 and nine-month ended December FY24 on February 13, 2024. Our results and an updated presentation have been sent to the stock exchanges and have also been uploaded to the company's website. In our previous communications, we had detailed our intention to reorganize the company's consumer and scientific business into two distinct publicly listed entities through a composite arrangement scheme. The appointed date for the said scheme was April 1, 2022. We are pleased to inform you that the scheme has been made effective from December 2, 2023, and pursuant to the scheme, the scientific and industrial products business of the company stands demerged into a company called Borosil Scientific Limited. At this point of time, we await regulatory approvals for Borosil Scientific Limited's listing on the stock exchange. Therefore, in today's call, we shall focus and discuss on the business of Borosil Limited, which houses our consumer products businesses. Moreover, for my opening remarks, I will stick to talking about the period nine months ended December 2023 rather than simply quarterly numbers because of changes in the festival season in terms of the date this year versus last year. Therefore, the nine months makes it more comparable. Our revenue from operations grew phenomenally well during the nine months ended December 2023 at INR 713.4 crores as against INR 565 crores for the same period last year. That is a growth of 26.3%. During the nine-month period, the company achieved an EBITDA before exceptional and one-time items, including investment income, of INR 124.7 crores as against INR 57.5 crores. That is more than double of the previous period. The EBITDA margin was 17.5% for this period as against 10.2% in the corresponding prior period. Profit before tax during YTD December FY24 was INR 81.2 crores as against INR 63.8 crores in the same period last year. Last year, the company had an exceptional item of INR 9.3 crores, which was a receipt towards insurance claim and also a one-time gain towards sale of a non-core asset of INR 13.6 crores. The income from investments for YTD December FY24 is 5.4 crores during the same period last year. The depreciation and finance costs this year are higher by about INR 27 crores, primarily due to the commissioning of the new opal glass furnace during Q4 FY23. During year-to-date December FY24, Borosil recorded a profit after tax of INR 60.8 crores as compared to INR 48.7 crores during the same period last year. Coming to our category-wise performance, Borosil's consumer business comprises glassware products, non-glassware products, both of which are under the brand Borosil, and opalware range under the brand Larah. Here, we achieved, as I already mentioned, a strong sales performance of INR 713.4 crores as against INR 565 crores, which is a growth of 26.3%. Drilling this down further, sales of glassware products grew by 12.7% from 138 crores to 155 crores during this period, and non-glassware grew by 23% to reach a turnover of INR 289.5 crores during the 9-month ended December 2023. We saw good growth across all our ranges and as well as all our channels. Non-glassware sales of the Borosil brand now comprise about 65% of the revenue of the Borosil brand. On the Lara side, our opalware brand Lara achieved sales of INR 269 crores during YTD December FY24. That is a growth of almost 40% over the same period in the previous year. The EBITDA margin during YTD December FY24 was 17.5%, this for the overall business, as against 10.2%. We have seen a softening of direct costs, including fuel and raw material prices, throughout the period, and operating leverage has kicked in many areas post the doubling of our opalware production capacity. We continue to observe margin increases due to increase in sale as well as reduction in input costs. The company continues to invest in marketing for both Lara and Borosil to raise customer awareness and increase brand presence. Our current priority is to expand our marketing, sales, as well as the brand across the length and breadth of the country. Our endeavor is for consumers to switch from plastic and melamine to glass storage and opalware, servingware, and to increase the use of glassware for microwavables, as well as for oven-proof applications. We constantly introduce new products to diversify our offerings, such as portable high-grade steel products and home appliances. We aim to make Borosil and Lara the preferred brands in the modern Indian kitchen for daily storage, preparation, cooking, heating, and serving purposes. In our previous communications, we had also mentioned that the company is setting up a 25-ton per day production capacity for borosilicate glass pressware at Jaipur, Rajasthan. I'm very pleased to inform you that the said furnace has been commissioned on January 31st, 2024 for trial production. The company expects commercial production to be achieved sometime later this quarter. We will, of course, announce this to the exchanges as and when that happens. This will further help reduce our dependence on imports, improve our product offering, cater to the domestic as well as overseas demand for pressware products made of borosilicate glass, and will also improve margins as our cost of production will be lower than the cost of the imports. Exports, as I already mentioned, could also have a fillip owing to China plus one being followed by many parts of the world today. We continue to be optimistic about the consumer business's medium-term prospects. Even though occasionally there may be slow growth due to cautious consumer behavior, we expect industry-wide growth due to positive long-term trends. Our main priorities shall be to expand our consumer base, launching new items, as well as streamlining our supply chain and marketing channels to bolster our brand visibility. The company is seeking an enabling resolution to potentially raise capital in any form during the year ahead. We will discuss internally with the board to see how and when to go about raising the capital. At this moment, we seek an enabling resolution which will permit us to have funds for future growth. With that, with the brief opening remarks, I would like to throw the floor open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Arpit Shah from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, congratulations on the demerger and super performance this quarter. I had a couple of questions. I'll just list on all my questions and then we can go ahead. Just wanted to understand what is the capital employed number for the quarter and how this number is divided between working capital and fixed assets. What could be the steady state of depreciation and finance cost in the CAPEX has been commissioned? And is there any CAPEX which is still pending in the business that needs to be commissioned in the coming quarters? And if you can help us with any guidance for 25 what kind of margins or what kind of revenues we could expect, given that market has been soft, but your performance has been actually been very, very strong. And my last question, was there any one-off number in sales this quarter in Q3 FY24? Because I do remember when Lavpala had commissioned up their plant, that's seen a very big pump up in sales in the subsequent quarter. Do we have something similar which is happening with us as well, or is it something which is different that we have done or we have executed superbly well this quarter?
Okay, so that's a lot of questions. Let me, I'll take a couple, and then I'm gonna ask my finance team to answer the few others. As far as sales are concerned, I can tell you that we do have institutional sales which happen during the Diwali quarter every year, and these are, let's say, routine sales, meaning it's not every year to the same party, it's different parties for different years, and that does play a role in improving sales during the Diwali period. So as such, there have been one-offs, but it's like this every year. So it's hard to say whether the one-offs will not be repeated or will be repeated. It just depends on the traction for Diwali. But at this moment, I would say we are quite comfortable that you know, we expect to improve upon our performance in the years ahead. As far as the, you know, bump up of anyone else's sales are concerned, it's hard for me to comment, that you'd have to ask them. But we have, you know, five strong channels, which we have, and we have teams, you know, manning each of those channels. And each team has their own targets, which grow year on year, and therefore, they are incentivized and motivated to keep doing better than the year before. And that because the last year becomes the base for them to further, you know, move ahead. Coming to the question of, you know, FY25, I would stay away from giving you any guidance on FY25 specifically, except as to say that we have given guidance in the past on a medium-term CAGR, which has been in the range of 15%-20%. And this, of course, encompasses period of low growth as well as high growth. And if you look at our past performance, if that's at all any indicator of future, which probably is not, but the you know, we have been kind of on the higher end of that spectrum. But whether it happens in any one particular year is hard to kind of comment on. So I would not like to comment on FY25 numbers per se, but to say that we look over a 3-5-year period, and we hope that we can do 15%-20% CAGRs in that period. And this is nothing new. It's been, you know, I've been sharing this for a long time now. I would request my finance team to talk about capital employed, if they have the numbers ready, or maybe they can connect, we can upload this on the online at some later stage. But Rajesh, if you would like to take this question.
Yeah. So regarding this capital employed and all these things, I think we will upload these numbers separately. On the depreciation side, the per unit depreciation numbers is around 52 crore. And since our another furnace, borosilicate furnace, which is at Jaipur, this is going to capitalize in this current quarter, Q4. So after having this furnace capitalized, the depreciation amount may range to 80 crore per annum.
Got it. And the debt sits in our business, right? The 200 crore plus debt.
Yes, that's in this Borosil Limited. That's right.
But if you see our finance costs were on the lower end, it was around 2 crore a quarter. So what, how is that number on the lower end? Just wanted to understand.
So basically, most of the loans we have drawn in the last month of Q3. So that is even the finance cost is lower.
No, given that our debt to our 215 crores was for the combined business, which was there since a long time. So do we have investment also in this business, or that is more for the scientific?
Anand? The investments in this business also.
Yeah, there are investments in this business also. So there is about 180 crores of debt, basically, which is in the form of your loans and your working capital loans. And then there is a cash of about 90 crores or investments in the book. So the net cash position is about 90 crores negative.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to all. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my first question actually builds upon a question that has already been asked. So If I look at the overall market, and especially the results of consumer companies, consumer durables, kitchen appliances, other glassware players, all of them, and I'm not talking, I'm adding up Q2 and Q3 and looking at it from a YY perspective, so the timing of Diwali does not really matter. Everyone has either remained flat or actually shown a decline. And Borosil has shown mid-20s to 30% growth, right? So what would be, number one, what would be the volume growth portion here? I'm just trying to strip out the commodity price deflation that might have happened. And what has driven this strong growth, right? Because it cannot be that the sales team is working, right? Because sales team is working every quarter, but till the last quarter, we were seeing single-digit YOY growth rates, in, especially in consumer glassware. And that has turned into 35% this quarter. So if you could just throw some more color on some of those aspects.
Look, as far as we are concerned, I can tell you that we have, you know, huge diversity in product categories as well as in channels. And that has, you know, led us to perform quite well compared maybe to others. And I don't have an answer other than that, really, because when we look at glassware, since you raised that point, we knew we had this furnace coming, so we had to innovate on products. We had to innovate on various, let's call it, new shapes, new sizes, and many of those new SKUs did quite well for us. And as far as the, you know, the, like I said, competition is concerned, you know, hard to comment there. But we do believe that the product innovation and the, you know, the varied range of products plus the number of channels we have, each of which have dedicated teams, I think that could be maybe one of the reasons we've been able to grow. Not to say that the market has been very good. It has been very tough and it has been very challenging. And this is something we are discussing really on a daily basis. So we have grown well in a tough situation, and I hope and pray that this can continue for us. But I'm afraid I don't have much different an answer for you than that.
All clear on that. Secondly, we have commissioned the borosilicate pressware facility, and just in case you have some more clarity incrementally over the previous quarters, could you give us a sense on how much increase in fixed costs we can expect? And by fixed cost, I mean simply the incremental employee costs and incremental other expenses we can expect in the next couple of quarters because of this furnace, right? Because that would slightly dent your EBITDA temporarily. So just wanted to get a heads up on that.
I'm afraid I can't share that information with you at this stage. Frankly, for two reasons. One is I can't, and the second is that we don't even know it yet fully because it's just a few days since the furnace has started. So any number I give you may be erroneous. But you're right. Directionally, yes, it will impact going forward for a short period of time. Until, you know, the production stabilizes. This is the first furnace of this type in India, so there is no other specialist available, let's say, in India to who can help us. We are, you know, learning by doing. Of course, we have great team on the technology side doing this, but still, whenever we do something new, it's bound to have its own set of challenges. So there will be some impact on this, I think it will be short-term, frankly, because the benefit of the furnace, the lower cost of production, and then the higher revenue coming from higher tonnage sales will more than offset it. We always do business for the long term. We don't really think of the short term while doing business. So we'll absorb that impact if it's there for one or two quarters.
Great, that makes sense. On the opalware division, you saw quite a good growth number, about 60%. I just want to understand, in this quarter, should we assume that your capacities were fully utilized? And along with that, did you also see some benefit on the realization side? Just trying to understand
So you had asked that question before. So this year, we've not taken any price increases really. So all the growth has really come from two areas. One is volume, and second could be product mix, right? I mean, that is hard to quantify product mix, but I would say across the categories, we have not really taken any price increase. So all growth is basically volume growth. But opalware has not been operating at 100%. We have been somewhere about 85%, I would say, capacity utilization. So we still have a scope to further improve this. Should we be able to sell the entire production?
This 85% is blended or only for the new furnace?
Blended.
Okay, understood. And what would be the peak revenue potential in that case from your existing capacity, 100%?
Opalware, if I think we had also shared this in the past, somewhere with the two furnaces in operation, I think somewhere 400 plus crores for the year should be the possibility. 400 for 20 in that range.
And lastly, if you could also cover, because the Borosil Scientific is getting demerged, right? Any thoughts on the management on how you will allocate the bandwidth?
I'll talk about Borosil Scientific, you know, when that comes up. Maybe I'll talk about it separately. Of course, it's already happened. So, yes, we have a separate team altogether. I mean, just a short point is we have two separate teams which have run these two separate businesses. And there's a CEO there, and there's a board of directors, and there's a non-promoter chairman who runs the board of directors. So it's quite quite professionalized, that business.
Got it, sir. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Jasdeep Walia from Clockvine. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Shiva, what are your plans for capacity expansion on the opalware side, given the strong growth in sales this year? It seems like by the end of this year or by next year, your opalware plants will be fully utilized. So how are you thinking about expanding capacity there?
Jasdeep, frankly, at this stage, we are not thinking of any further expansion. We would like to, you know, conclude the entire utilization of the capacity. And as I mentioned before, the borosilicate plant, there is a big, you know, capacity addition compared to our current sales. And there are many products probably which, you know, are similar, let's say in borosilicate. For example, you have a lunchbox, which is a glass lunchbox, plus you have an open lunchbox, right? So we may then choose to focus on one versus the other, depending on our capacity, and see how we can sell more of one versus the other. I don't know. The point is we would like to stabilize the borosilicate operation as well as, you know, improve the capacity utilization there before we decide now what next to do. So I think for the next 12 or 15 months, let's say till at least March of 25, we are not looking at any further capex in the production because we just want to focus on what we have.
Got it. So what are the broad objectives of the capital raise which has been proposed?
Well, the capital raise is proposed, you know, there's debt on the books. There is capex to be done in the future, which this is something that we'll have to discuss at the board level, exactly how the proceeds will be utilized, but it'll naturally broadly be used for one of those two purposes.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Gaurav Gandhi from Glory Tail Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Congratulations on the great set of numbers and overall development of business. My question is more related to our domestic appliances business like mixer grinders, cookwares or storage range. Looking at so many brands and competition in the space, so in what terms are products different or better in terms of quality, design, and how should you look at attracting consumers towards our brand?
Okay, in terms of the quality, look, we have a product management team. This quality is determined by many factors. For example, understanding what's available in the market, understanding what customers need, what customers have a view. You know, we do a lot of focus group studies with customers to understand what they like, what they don't like. And we also look at, you know, what's available from our suppliers because we don't manufacture these products. So we have a fairly intensive understanding of when we want to launch a product, where we want to place it. Pricing also matters. You know, there's a price and value kind of, you know, crossover point where you need to decide where you want to place the product. So at this, this is all done at the starting point itself. And I would say we are placed in the, let's say, in the premium range of appliances, and therefore we don't wish to play in the, you know, mass market of appliances. So the brand Borosil means quality, it means trust, it means reliability, performance, and so on. So therefore, any product we launch should adhere to those guidelines. So I know it's a bit touchy-feely, but that's really what it is. And then the product management team decides how to do this. And you're right, there are many competitors. But frankly, end of day, it's a huge market. There's space for many players to play. And we're also one of the players. And the fact is that our appliances business has grown substantially. If you look at a non-glass retail, that's testament to the fact that we've been able to grow or stretch our brand from being a glassware brand to, you know, including products like steel and home appliances. And every year we've seen growth there. So we feel fairly comfortably placed. We have not deployed any capital in the business in terms of manufacturing assets. It's working capital and it's, of course, a team. And we generate, you know, reasonable return on capital. So, you know, the business continues. So we were happy to be a part of it.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Congratulations to the entire team for great execution. My question is on the ramp-up of the new borosilicate furnace. How do you see the ramp-up happening there, given it's a premium offering to the market and a lot of new products are going to be introduced? And in order to prepare the market for accepting such large volumes coming in, did we take any price cut over the last 1 year in the borosilicate range? Yeah, these are my two questions.
So look, as far as the brand, I mean the product offering, yes, right now we may have 30, 40, 50 SKUs in borosilicate. We'll be doubling that in order to have a bigger range, which and that by having our own manufacturing that allows us. So the bigger range itself should expand the market, at least that's the thesis. Coming to pricing, yes, it is a premium product, and that's also one of the reasons why the revenues, rather the tonnages sold are slightly on the lower side. Now, having our own manufacturing does give us the leverage to reduce or to make the pricing more compelling so that more users get too interactive with the product. And our clear feeling is that once people start using the product, they will always go back to buying it. Right now, when the product itself starts at a high price, then people are afraid to enter it. But once you launch it at a price which is attractive, then you'll find that there's a lot of repeat purchase. So we will definitely play on the pricing, which is afforded to us by the fact that we are producing it from a cost perspective. So as far as exact percentages, I would not like to comment on, but our immediate focus will be to expand the market. And that's two ways. One is to give some attractive entry-level products at attractive pricing, plus also expand the product range so that the customers have more choice to choose from.
Got it. And on the appliances side, I understand that we are currently outsourcing the entire manufacturing to mainly from China. Now, what will be the strategy going forward? Is it going to be, you know, the same Chinese model, or are we also planning to find some vendors here, given, you know, overall government's focus is also to have more domestic sourcing across all the industries? What is your thought process? Maybe, you know, some policies might come which could be negative for us in terms of importing the appliances in the completely finished form. Yes. Some thoughts on that side.
Yeah, frankly, that's we have already, this was known to us some time ago, and probably the whole industry is aware of it. And we have been onshoring a lot of our sourcing. So it's not the fact that everything comes from China. We have increased our percentage quite substantially of made in India appliances. And I see this increasing further and further. The manufacturing ecosystem for many of our appliances has been developed in India, you know, with high quality and, you know, with attractive pricing. And many of those, therefore, we have already moved to India. Of course, we are working with vendors to further enhance this. And I would say that in the next, let's say 3 years, a vast majority of our appliances would be made in India and not imported at all. So we are on that path. The Chinese took, 20, 25 years to build their manufacturing ecosystem. So, India may do it faster, but it will take some time. So let's assume that in the next 3 to 5 years, the scenario will have allowed us to onshore most of our products, not just appliances, but across our categories.
Got it. And last question is on the opalware industry. How do you see the competitive intensity? And I understand it has increased, and so is it coming? It is really, getting difficult in terms of managing the margins, and how do you see going forward? And also, what new capacities are going to come on the opalware side in India? And what is the existing installed capacity in India? And over the next 2 year period, how do you see that installed capacity going to in opalware?
See, both our competitors who manufacture opal in India, both are absolutely fantastic players. They have great products and they are very mature players, and we have the utmost respect for them. They have done a great job in expanding the market, as have we. And I think as an industry, we have been able to successfully grow this we have been successfully trying to change the way Indians eat in more stylish plates and in better looking product, which is also more utilitarian, because you can let's say microwave it, you can it's tougher, so it doesn't chip or break easily. It's stylish. So I think all three of us have done good job over here. As far as capacity, so these are all mature players. I don't see competitive intensity in a sense where margins, these are high capex businesses. You need to have enough EBITDA to keep funding the business, both from a maintenance capex perspective as well as from growth perspective. So when you have a high capex business, you need to have reasonable margins, and I think all the players are mature enough to understand that. And new capacities at the moment, there has been a slowdown in the market in general. So I do not think anyone would really add much new capacity today. But what happens 2 years down the line is hard to predict. But as of today, I don't hear that anyone's adding capacity. But again, my information may not entirely be accurate.
Okay. So overall, at an industry level, the opalware industry must be operating at nearly full 85-90% capacity. Would that be?
I can only comment about myself, which I already shared the number with someone earlier. I don't know what others are operating at, so hard for me to make a guess.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Priyank Chheda from Vellum Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, what would be our institutional sales in opalware? Was it only in opalware, or was it into other categories also? Wanted to confirm this. Would you be able to quantify that so that it becomes very easy for us to have a comparable figure if, down the line in the next 12 months if we have this figure in hand?
I'm sorry, I don't share the data by channel. Okay. So I'm sorry, I can't share that information with you. But institutional sales are across all products. Huh? So, we don't drive what our customers buy when they're gifting. We show up at the customer's end with our catalogs, and they decide basis budget, basis, so many factors, what they want to buy. And we want sales. So we will not say that you only buy opal from us and don't buy something else. So we are open. We have a big range of products, and the customers buy from us. Opal also is a successful one, because you can really, the price points are very attractive for opal. You can give a gift of 2 cups or 2 mugs, anything from that to you can give a dinner set as a gift. It's a very wide range of pricing. So there's something for each, let's say, budget. So it is a attractive area, but I apologize, I can't share with you the numbers.
No problem. And what would be our, if I have to reinstate this question on the other lens, what would be our consumer or tertiary sales Maybe if you can help us on a YTD number, that would be also great.
Tertiary sales, you're saying from our customers to their customers.
Yes.
Well, frankly, we know this number for trade, for general trade, and I mean, for large format stores, we don't get the data. So the large format stores will not give us the data. For canteen stores, we don't get the data. So we will not have that information. Of course, from an Amazon perspective, we know the tertiary sales, and for a trade perspective, we know the tertiary sales. But if your question is how much stocking has happened in the system, which I guess is where you're kind of leading to, I don't believe there's been overstocking in the system of any, you know, great amount. And this is basis, you know, inputs from my sales team, because we track our secondary and tertiary sales data quite closely. And we don't think that there's been, let's say, dumping from our side to the system.
No problem.
I don't have hard data which I can share with you.
Got it. So can we get a sense on a qualitative aspect on what would have been a channel growth? We have a present gone to five channels. Which channel
Whatever growth numbers you see, they have been fairly consistent across our channels. So I would not say something is, you know, dramatically off. In fact, all the channels are double digit, you know, growths.
And significant success on the export side of opalware or onto any of the other borosilicate part?
Borosilicate to abhi chalu hai, so it's nothing reflected in the December numbers. As far as opalware is concerned, we have been selling in exports for quite some time, and I can't say that there has been something dramatically different than before. It's growing, like I said, along with all our other five channels in India. It's a sixth channel for us. It's growing, also growing double digit, but I can't say that there's some single order or one-off item which has dramatically enhanced our performance.
Got it. Just a last question on a very broader industry perspective, and particularly for opalware. The kind of an industry structure is that the market overall size remains very small. While we have a matured players into this industry, our consumer kind of is yet to mature from a steel melamine to opalware. So what kind of a work that is required to be done in case you can help for an industry to, as for an overall industry perspective, so that the size becomes 3,000-4,000 crores kind of a acceptance on the consumer level?
See, while you may say this, I'm partial agreement with your point. The point is that when we acquired this opal glass plant in 2016, there was only one player at that time. That was Laopala. You know the revenues they had at that time, maybe like 250-300 crores, if I'm not mistaken. At that time when we bought the business, our revenues would have been 45-50 crores, and that was the size of the business. Now today, fast forward what, 8 years, you'll see three players. And they are the three players, from two players, one three players, and the three players put together would have, let's say, 1,100-1,200 crore turnover, maybe 1,100 crore turnover, which is a big jump from whatever 250-300 to 1,100 in 8 years. So that itself is a big jump, in my opinion. Yes, it's, I said partially agree. Yes, this market should be 3,000-4,000 crores, which is where we should be heading, but in order to achieve that, I think we have to just keep doing more product innovation. You know, I think that's an area where I think we may not have done good enough a job. I'm talking about Borosil. I believe that our opal products can be premiumized much better than what we have done. You know, the cups, mugs, the servingware, which we have, we can probably add more SKUs there, which will further enhance the size of the market. At end of day, people buy a product when they see a variety and they see the utility aspect of it, which maybe we need to do a better job with. And that's something we are working on to enhance our ranges and to improve the utility for, say, you know, drinking tea, drinking coffee, your snacking. I don't think we've done good enough a job there. And that's where we are working on. At least from bonuses perspective, I guess.
So a more SKU expansion and a category expansion is what can drive a faster consumer acceptance, correct?
100%, yes.
Got it. And just to add to a perspective on to this industry aspect, would imports or unorganized players doing unbranded part would have a significant role to play in this industry?
Yes.
And if you can also add to why Horeca remains a kind of an underserved industry for organized players like us.
Well, as far as Horeca is concerned, I can tell you that we have not focused too much on Horeca just because pricing is quite challenging over there. And therefore, that when we can speak to the end customers and sell branded product, why should we, you know, go and sell? Because brand does not really matter for Horeca, except for very few hotels. So the vast majority, you know, want pricing. And that's not something, we are not the low-cost producer. The low-cost producer could be in China or somewhere else, for that matter. So therefore, Horeca has not been a naturally strong segment for us, and we have not focused much there. Coming to imports, you see, opalware imports themselves may not be that high. They are there, maybe 15-20% maybe there. But the fact is that there's a lot of unorganized competition from many other materials. When a customer goes to buy a dinner set, they necessarily don't look to buy an opal dinner set. They go and buy, they want to buy a plate, they want to buy a mug. They'll go and see what's in the market and they'll choose. So in essence, it's not opal that's a competition. It's all these other let's say, materials or other products which are competition, and there you see huge, including steel by the way, you see huge unorganized competition. So it could be 30-40-50% of the market size. So that's something that if we do a better job, like I said, with better design, with more utility products, with more shapes and sizes, I think we can start eating into that unorganized space. And that's, let's say, a blue ocean, as they call it, which all the industry can kind of get benefited from.
Perfect. Thanks for clarifying all the doubts. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Anirudh Joshi from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, 2-3 questions from my side. So let's say if we manufacture one glass bottle in India versus let's say if we import same bottle from outside, let's say China, or in case of opalware, let's say we manufacture one plate in India versus we import same plate from China, then what will be the difference in the cost considering all the freight cost all the way from importing as well as the customs duties, etc.? So what will be the background difference in the different products, let's say in glassware as well as opalware both?
So in my opinion, production versus manufacturing, if you look at the cost, now again the question is how do you define cost? You know, you take interest and depreciation or you take off just the cost of... sorry, there's some background noise. Hello? Yeah. So I was saying that it depends on how you define cost, whether you want to include interest and depreciation or not, because a lot of the Chinese guys have fully depreciated plants which have been operating for 20 years. So there on the interest and depreciation, we take a, you know, big hit because of that. But if I was to remove interest and depreciation and look at operating costs, which are, you know, raw material, power and fuel, and look at product costing on that basis, then I think we would be 15% lower than China. But if we were to compare a fully depreciated plant of China with interest and depreciation at very low levels versus a brand new plant here, then definitely our costs are higher. Also with China, it's never a question of cost. They sell below cost because they're subsidized. And they are able to sell this product artificially low because of various export subsidies, CapEx subsidies, OpEx subsidies that they get. So it's not really a level playing field. It's very opaque. So we believe that these guys are, you know, routinely selling product below cost and, you know, getting back money from the government to compensate for the losses that they make. So, but again, the data from China is very hard to kind of understand because it's quite opaque.
Okay, sure. Understood. In terms of the growth rates across the regions, let's say east, west, north, south, or even if you break down between, let's say, metros, tier 1, 2 cities or rural markets. So how do you see the demand outlook across the multiple geographies that we operate?
Frankly, Borosil is still the story is top 100 cities of India. We are not in the rural markets yet. We would like to be there, and maybe now as we expand our product portfolio, we get items which are more relevant to the rural consumer. Maybe we'll start seeing some expansion, distribution expansion there. But frankly speaking, our main products are top 100 cities in India. And if region-wise, I'm not seeing, again, a dramatic difference. I mean, the difference also depends on our penetration. For example, in South, we're the lowest penetrated, whereas North, we may be the highest. So I'm talking about relative to us only. I'm not talking about relative to competition. I'm talking about just relative to our own penetration versus the market potential of that region. So growth has been quite attractive, for example, in South this year, but the base is low. So that's something that we have to consider. Absolute growth may still have been higher in North because base is higher even if the percentage growth is lower. So our goal is that we should cover the length and breadth of the country. And we've expanded our retail presence to, I think, almost 25,000 retail outlets. We believe we can still expand this further at a reasonably good pace. And even expand distribution because of the new ranges. We are seeing, you know, specific distributors for specific product ranges, also which gives focus to the sales team as well as to the distributors themselves. So there are many ways to expand the base, which, and we're doing them. Of course, some we succeed and some we fail, but that's part of it.
Okay, sure, understood. And last question, if you can indicate the profitability, the EBITDA margin that we get if we do sales from different channels versus exports, own website, general trade, B2B, modern trade, e-commerce. Means I don't want numbers, but just wanted to check if the profitability across all region, across all channels is same, then it really doesn't matter whether we sell it to GT or MT or e-com.
If you look at a gross margin perspective, there's a very small gap. There's a very small gap between the various channels. It's a very, very small gap. So we are happy to sell in every channel.
No, I'm saying in terms of EBITDA margin per se.
EBITDA is a little harder to calculate because then how do you allocate some costs, especially overhead marketing costs, for example, very difficult to measure. Because marketing costs are fungible. You know, if I market something online, should I only debit it to my online sales, as an example, or for example on WhatsApp or on YouTube, because those are all influencing purchase offline also. So it's a bit ad hoc for me to allocate that expense. I'll just an example. Same story goes on, let's say, management, you know, the senior management fee. Very difficult to allocate them by channel just because we, you know, every month will be a different, management is spending time in different areas. So how do we allocate those expenses? So while we do try and do it, frankly, it's a guess at best. But I can tell you that based on our data, all our channels are profitable for us, and therefore we continue to invest in them. And that's the reason also why we didn't do Horeca, because we saw Horeca was not really profitable for us.
Okay, sure, sir. Very helpful. Many thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for very good set of numbers. Sir, my question is, with the commissioning of this glass furnace, what will be our capacity and what was the previous capacity? What is the capacity addition in tonnage?
So the capacity is 25 tons per day of the glass furnace, and normally these furnaces operate at 70-80% yield utilization or yields, so you can do the math. But this is the first furnace of its type in India, so there was earlier we were importing this product and selling it, so we can't really compare it with any previous capacity because we were not manufacturing this product. So that's the answer to your question.
So what type of cost saving we can expect with the commissioning of this furnace? Or it will, so is that to do with cost, or we, is it has to do with the quality. We get better quality with this.
I would say the quality will be comparable to if you are importing from European producers earlier. The quality will be absolutely comparable. Cost is where we get two benefits. One is the cost benefit, maybe 15-20%, we should be able to have a benefit compared to importing this from Europe. But on the flip side, the bigger benefit is really the product range and the availability of product. Because now we have to have, there's a supply chain time is very long. When we have our own production in Jaipur, you can make products more or less on demand if needed. And you can also make a much bigger range. You can do a lot of trial and error with new shapes and sizes. And that also helps expand the market. So I would say the product range and availability at short notice would be really a bigger benefit than when compared to cost. Because the cost benefit we will have to pass on to the end customer in order to expand the market.
Okay, so we will pass on the entire benefit to the consumer just to expand the market.
Yeah, in the short run for sure, yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Monish Godke from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in opalware category, is our pricing at par with the category leader?
For similar product, yes. But the category leader does have some premium offerings, which we don't have at the moment. So overall, probably if I look at just the net realization, they would probably be higher than us because they have premium products, which we have not yet launched. Or which we are in the process of launching.
Okay. And sir, are gross margins, are they comparable with the category leader? Like they have some 80%
yes.
gross margin and 40%. So are we
yes.
also operating
yes.
at similar levels in opalware?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you for a engaging conversation and many good questions. I hope I was able to answer them to your satisfaction. Thank you for your support. The company has been trying hard to expand and we've been doing a reasonable job of achieving this objective. And we believe we have a very strong medium to long-term growth story and we'll continue working towards this end. And I look forward to again interacting with you at the end of the quarter four. Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.